Thank you. Welcome to Talkin' Music. I'm Allie Lightfoot, and I'm here with Eden Clearwater, known by the stage name Zephyr, and he just put out a 9-track CD titled Time and Sensations. We just heard the song Sensational Times. It's a psychedelic ambient electronica composition, and I would also say experimental.
Oh, definitely.
And he used acoustic instruments, electronic sounds, and nature, and combines it all to create a multi-dimensional soundscape. Congratulations on creating this, Eden.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm glad that I get to talk to you about it. I met you when you were about 7, and you've always been a really creative person. In addition to music, you've been a filmmaker, a writer, a fire dancer, and probably some other art projects that I don't know about. And you seem to always have this unique and fearless approach to any artistic endeavor. And I've always been impressed by it. So not everyone just puts out a CD, you know, after playing music, because it seems like sort of a new thing. When did you start playing music?
I started playing piano and songwriting about 3 years ago, and I got into production about 2 years ago. So relatively recent, but I've been pretty heavy on it with doing production close to 3 to 5 hours every single day for the past 2 years without stop. And that's definitely really pushed me forward in my ability to produce what my mind is creating. It was a source for me to get away from just staring and like playing video games or something else, something I could put more creative intention into. And also in addition, it was this idea, you see all these people on stages and all these big DJs and you think, oh, I want to be that. I want to be the guy throwing the party instead of the person in the crowd. And slowly, as my dream became more aware and I became more talented at my craft, my desires in it changed more to being able to reflect the compositions that I have in my head. Because, of course, you can create any number of sounds in your head, but if you can actually make that sound in the real world, that's where the art form creates a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you go to a lot of music festivals that celebrate this kind of music and expression. What are some of your favorite festivals to go to, and what festivals would you love to perform at? And you have performed at a couple, right?
Yeah. I really like the local festivals in Colorado. I really go towards festivals looking for a few particular musicians that truly inspire me. Dave Tipper and Spangle are the two that are still touring that have had the biggest effect on me. Of course, there's other ones, but most of them I am inspired by more 90s and 80s electronic music, and it's kind of, those guys are usually pretty old.
What appeals to you about the 80s and 90s stuff?
There's something more raw, and I don't know if it's a particular thing as much as a mindset. There's a much more experimental, unfounded mindset that the artists carried with them because there wasn't anyone before them who they were able to be inspired by. I just like the music. I don't know why.
Uh-huh.
But most of those artists seem to be from that period, and I really do like them.
So lots of the music on your CD feels to me like there are like subliminal messages being transmitted in a way. There's so many interesting sounds that are coming in and layers of things happening. The messages that seem to be coming through are very positive and sort of soothing somehow, even though it has that element of like overwhelm in a sense because of the time we're living in.
Oh,
I feel
definitely.
Like that's in there somehow.
The juxtaposition between dark and light is, of course, just a reflection of our modern era and the many ways that we perceive the world around us and how many things are dark but also carry some sort of light. And I'm not really swaying to either side with this album, neither part, because I personally don't believe that there is such a thing as the ultimate in either perceptual experience, either light or darkness. There is this middle ground that we experience, and that is what a lot of this album is about. Of course, it's about perception. So perception is, it's twisted. It's slightly off. And in the song, Nothing Becomes Nothing, originally actually sees Zoe Clara or Fierce LaFay, the woman who did the vocals on that one, actually did the spoken word separate from the music, and then she gave those to me, and I wasn't really sure what to do with them, and I already had this really dark feeling track, so I put them in there, and the whole thing about love was supposed to juxtaposition the idea that we might perceive darkness, but truly hidden beneath is love.
But there's also like birds and waterfalls and things like that throughout that you can feel exactly what you're talking about, where there's some confusion, some element of confusion. But then there's this sort of peaceful thing happening in the background. And it's really interesting.
Oh, definitely. That whole nature thing, I think, really helps the album really cast an image. For me, this album, each track is about capturing an image, a beautiful sunset, or sitting by the river enveloped in thought, you know? These are the moments that I experience that seem to stick with me, so I try to capture them in a musical platform.
Well, let's hear the track Nothing from Nothing off Eden Clearwater's new CD titled Time and Sensations, and we'll be back to talk with Eden more about it.
essence of separate. Gotta release the toxic judgment. If we are all connected, gotta love what's hating and admit we aren't above the hate. Can't stand in guilt, get caught running from the pain. So this method involves walking lines between full sacred surrender and witnessing profanity. Timeless, sinking feeling, leaving you hollow while our hearts keep stretching and keep growing. You've got to affect the space around you and fill it. Then in the question of where it comes from, remember, remember you are full of love. Yes, all this is full of love, are full of love. Yes, all this is full of love.
Was Nothing from Nothing off Time and Sensations, and I'm here with the composer Eden Clearwater. There were over 100 tracks in that.
Yeah, it's close to 150 layers in that one. It's just a lot of very unique sounds. Not very much like repetition, like in electronic music. A trick that most producers use is they build something very complicated and then they just loop that over and over again. Mm-hmm. And that song has very minimal looping of sounds. Of course, it does for the melodic motifs to carry through, but otherwise, most of the like effects and synthesis is all not repetitive whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. How long would it take you to produce something like that, and how do you go about it?
Well, it depends on the track, so a big thing is that most of the tracks on this album have been made more than three or four times. So I've built the track, and then I've decided that there was something fundamentally wrong with it, and then I rebuilt it all the way from scratch using similar things. So if we include all of the different phases of a track, they can be anywhere from 50 hours to 200 hours, depending on the track. Nothing Becomes Nothing, that was probably a little bit more than 100 hours. Sensational Times, that one was probably more like 150, of mm-hmm. including all the recording of the musicians, all of the composition, and then all of the working of the different phases that I mostly do on the piano.
Mm-hmm. And when you're sitting down to work on something like that for hours and hours and hours, and you're going into that headspace, did you have some surprising things that would happen? I mean, yeah, I could see how maybe functioning in everyday life would be difficult after you go there for that long. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, there's definitely a variety of things that are surprising. One is that habitually doing something every day, you get really addicted, no matter what it is. If you're playing piano, like, I've had phases over the past couple of years where I haven't been able to produce music for a day or two, and it gives me really bad anxiety because I'm not able. Every minute that I don't spend in the studio, I feel like is wasted. When I spend long intervals in the studio, like more than 4 or 5 hours, the way that my ears tune is to musical sounds. So the different notes that I listen to and the different sounds that I create using synthesis, which is a lot of noises like very repetitive noises that go on forever, long drones that I make subtle changes to create these elaborate noises. And after long intervals of doing that, my brain is tuned out of language. So when I hear people talk, I'm not actually able to understand them. And what I have to do is I have to listen to podcasts. I listen to an unbelievable amount of podcasts because it's the only thing I can find that helps me to tune my ear back from that state of like harmonious sounds.
Wow. And you said you spent a lot of time doing field recordings too.
Yeah, I most of the sounds, a lot of the drum sounds and a lot of the effects I use of just the world around me. I have a sound library that's like 50 to 60 gigabytes of sounds that I've just went out and recorded out of. A lot of them are really long and useless and never will be used for anything, but for instance, like, I'll go out in the woods and I will find a tree that when you kick it in the right way, it just happens to make a perfect shaker. And then I will use that. Or a lot of water sounds. I find that water tunes to every key in music for some reason. I don't know why. Someone should explain that to me, why water is the perfect sound always. And a lot of birds and obviously things that I use to set the moods of the songs.
So you, all of these songs were composed by you, and the whole album features a bunch of musical artists, including Alaya Love, Daniel B, Fierce LaFay, Harry Tricky, Joe Allen Meter, Oakley Moore, who's your brother, Oren Blankenship, who's one of your friends, Wind Clearwater, your dad. There are a lot of friends and family on that list. Both your parents are creative people and certainly think outside the box. Do you feel like you were sort of born into this community that would support something like this in a way? Just how do you feel your friends and family have influenced you as an artist?
Well, I definitely have many tailwinds in the manner of the way that I had the opportunity to go for music. I think my biggest advantage was my father actually went and did music theory throughout high school and college a lot, and he had a vast amount of knowledge. And he was actually the one who came to me and basically said, after he had listened to me sing a lot, that I needed to make music. And that wasn't really what I thought at the time, but he really put me in that direction. And then I was really inspired to make electronic music. And when I started, he told me specifically, you're not going to just make electronic music. You have to continue playing piano if you want to do this. And that drive to continue playing piano opened up my ability to make music, because I would not be making even remotely the same music if I didn't have the instrumental knowledge that I have. And I find that a lot of people in the electronic music scene these days lack that ability to actually play a musical instrument. And there's a lot more that comes along with playing an instrument. It's not just playing the instrument, but also the way that you look at music because you play an instrument.
And if you just joined us, I'm here with Eden Clearwater, also known by the stage name Zephyr, and he just put out a CD called Time in Sensations, and we're going to hear another track from it. I wanted to play track two, which is Grendel, because I love dance music, and so I wanted to include this. Is there a story behind this song?
Yes, there's many stories behind this song, actually. This song is the first track that I started. So about 8 months, 9 months back, this is the first track that started. It's not the one that inspired me to make the album. That's Blue Eyes Marine, but it's the track that I was working on before any of the other ones. And my goal with it was just after I had played a show, and I was really disappointed in my performance because for about 10 minutes I had a crowd, and then it got too trippy and too ambient, and everybody left.
Aww, and then you got too weird for
them. Yeah, exactly. And I realized that I needed more upbeat music, and that's what this song came out of. Along with Eric Devon, who plays the sitar on the track, he was a big inspiration for the mood of the kind of Indian-style dance music.
Beautiful. Here it is.
Thank you.